Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, it is smokescreen season across the NFL, but
otherwise known as crap on player season.
Well, can I throw this one out there? Maybe we should. We should believe this one. I got an email today, and it said, hey, here are the draft odds, the over-under positions for some of the top prospects in the NFL draft. Shedeur Sanders over-under at the time the email was sent to me this morning at 8.02 a.m. Shedeur Sanders over-under 9. Okay?
Which the Saints are picking at 9.
I went in to my DraftKings app right when the show started, and on the DraftKings app, Shedeur Sanders over-under draft projection, 10.5. Okay?
Which, look, if Shedeur gets past the Saints at 9, which it does sound like is gaining momentum, I think he does fall into the 20s.
Yeah.
Because there's not really a quarterback, like you could say a team trades up, but I don't think this is going to be a draft where you trade up for a quarterback in the first round. I could be wrong.
Well.
But I just feel like he's going to fall, and the Steelers are going to have a choice to make it 21.
You have minus 450 at him going over, or over 10.5 right there.
I mean, that's telling you that's probably at least 5 picks. It's maybe 6.
No, wait. There's more. Kay Adams. She has a screenshot up on her Twitter account from the FanDuel Sportsbook. The Shedeur Sanders draft position over-under is 21.5 on FanDuel, which is the Pittsburgh Steelers draft position. The over is plus 118, the under minus 168. So think about that.
That's a weird odd split.
You have... I think that seems pretty normal. It's minus 450 for him to go over 10.5, but minus 168 for him to go under 21.5 on FanDuel. Take with that what you will.
And here's the thing about whether it's NBA draft, and any draft, any of the top four, well, not baseball because baseball is so weird, but NHL, NBA, NFL. Do you remember the Orlando Magic, Paolo Banchero, Shams Charania thing?
Yeah.
How nasty that was. And like, oh no, they're really thinking about doing something. And then it just slammed the other way because it was clearly misdirection. And people were like, oh, this feels like, because at the time Shams was working for FanDuel.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, this
or
is.
Or he was he's a partner.
Yeah. And it was nasty stuff. Like how quick it went the other way from his own intel.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't know about this. This stuff is intel driven. That's what this is.
Odds don't swing this much without something being there.
With something, they don't swing this much in any sport without intel from a high source.
Now, there is a lot of discussion, and I think rightfully so right now, about some of these top end teams wanting to trade back, right? You've got the Patriots have been reported to. They're trying everything they can to trade out of number four because guess what? If the Jags want Ashton Jeanty at 5, if the Raiders want Ashton Jeanty at 6, who's in an advantageous spot to take calls from Jacksonville, Chicago, and Vegas? Three teams right there all want Ashton Jeanty.
And then there's a couple other teams.
Dallas has been rumored.
There's somebody else in there too, but there's probably 5 teams that want Ashton Jeanty.
So at 4, they're going done. But if you're the Giants at 3, you could be playing that same game. I think they should just take Abdul Carter
and call it a
full
win.
Stop. Take Abdul Carter, and then in the second round, you can take whatever quarterback you're gonna want there, be it Dart, Shuck, whatever. You've got 2. Just go play football with the Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston and do your thing. Be happy. You have that ability. Giants could be moving back too and just say, all right, but maybe we do want Shador. Maybe we do. But we don't want him at three.
We don't want him at three, and we want to, if we're going to take him, we're going to make sure we get something else too.
Yeah. And then that could be said for if New Orleans is sitting there at nine and they're like, yeah, we like Shador. Nobody else behind us in the immediacy is going to take him.
Have you seen some of the mocks that have Mason Graham falling?
Yeah. Well, everybody's falling right now. Well,
but I mean, when I wonder if you're a team, if you're a competitive, let's say, you Eagles this when they took Jalen Carter and they just kind of fell to him. And again, they were coming off obviously a worse season. But if you're a competitive team and you're looking at Mason Graham and you're going, this is Jalen Carter all over again, a fantastic freaking player who isn't falling because of character, but just because of whatever. If you're one of the good teams, do you go, screw this? Like, we need cap control, high level players. Let us move up to nine if you're in that late teens area and you go, we want Mason Graham, and the Saints go, yeah, we'll take a second and swap a first and we'll move back and we'll take Shador at 18 or 19 or whatever.
And then you could still do it. It's a win-win for you.
Yeah, and I think that to me is how Shador goes before the Steelers, is if that situation happens. But outside of that, I don't think that, God, I just have such a hard time seeing Shador in Pittsburgh. I really do. Like, I know they need a quarterback, and desperation may force their hand. I just don't see him as a Pittsburgh quarterback.
Well, I just don't see him handling Mike Tomlin's coaching well.
No.
Because we were talking anonymous sources and anonymous polls by, you know, Rick Carlisle defending Tyrese Halliburton. But Tom Pelissero had on all of the quarterbacks what round projections that they would be in. And the only bona fide number one first-round draft pick was Cam Ward. Shador fell into the one or two range. And there are quotes from coordinators, assistants, executives from AFC and NFC teams. Some of them were positive. And I've said this multiple times, and I want to reiterate it before we have this conversation. Shador gets crapped on a lot and does not deserve some of it. But there's a lot of the stuff that is in here that Shador also gets propped up a lot by people. And it's like, what are you watching? Because it can't be full games of Colorado. You're just watching some cut-ups. Because there's been this discussion of, no, it's just his offensive line has been terrible. That's the reason why he took so many sacks. That is so incorrect. If you've watched them play, it is not just the offensive line. Shador has a ton to do with it. And in these, you know, anonymous quotes from guys, they said all of the things that are legitimate. Like, he is really good in a quick passing game when the scheme tells him to get the ball out quick. And he does have really good accuracy. And he does have recognition of coverages very well. And those things you can see as he is playing. He doesn't, he processes fairly well. It's just he holds onto the ball for a really long time in the intermediate, in the long passing game, which, by the way, gonna have to do in the NFL. You're not just gonna be able to nickel and dime guys all the way down the field. And look, this was a criticism of Bo Nix. But when you watched Bo Nix play football in college, he wasn't taking sacks because he held onto the ball too long. Actually, he rarely took sacks. Yeah. He would get the ball out.
Live to fight another day.
And it was, all right, can he be accurate downfield? Turns out, yeah, he can, right? Being a nickel and dime player is fine as long as you can process the intermediate in the long passing game as well. That's a legitimate question mark about Shador Sanders. But then there are some things that you go, oh boy. One longtime NFL assistant coach said, it was the worst formal interview I've been a part of in my life. He's so entitled, takes unnecessary sacks. He never plays on time. He's horrible body language, blames teammates. But the biggest thing is he's just not that good. It didn't go great in our interview. He wants to dictate everything that he's doing and what's best for him. He makes you feel small.
I don't want to boil my entire opinion on Shador Sanders down to one interaction. And he was younger, but we had him for Pac-12 media days the last year. And I have never in doing this, whether it's football or basketball, had an interview or discussion with a player less interested in being there than Shedeur was. And yeah. I can very, very, very easily see how that impression would be made.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it is what it is. Now, there's plenty of people tell you that Shedeur's a great guy. He's incredibly charismatic. But I think he very much, if he doesn't give a damn, he doesn't give a damn.
No.
Mm-mm. And, like, it's very much a Rorschach test of, like, whether that matters to you or not.
Yeah. Well, here is one AFC coordinator. The dude's only played for his dad. When things go wrong, it's not his fault. He takes a sack, he blames his own line. He can make all the throws, he's got good accuracy, but does he lock in on number one and hone in on him? And does the offense tailor for him to read it out? Well, that's pretty true. Like, that's a quick game. You know where you're going. If then, boom, boom, mm-hmm. really quick. But does his eyes in the intermediate and long passing game all of a sudden lock on to number one and you're going, dude, there's nothing you can do. There's other guys that are saying, look, he gets a ball out quick when it's thrown to number 12, but he won't have number 12, Travis Hunter, right? Another one said, this was an NFC executive. You can't have your dad saying, I'm going to come put a quarterback coach on blast who said you're arrogant, so he can't be criticized. It seems like his teammates like him. They back him, even with all the limelight stuff going on in a different card of the game. It seems like they back him a little bit more.
Well, and that's what I mean. I think when Shedeur wants to turn it on, he can.
Yeah.
But we also, the players that left the program weren't exactly singing his praises.
No. And that's the other thing, though, is that, yeah, the teammates may like him, but do they have a choice? Because everybody's been run out of Colorado that
didn't.
And that, like, you hear the former players all say that, you know, including the recruiting class that he brought in two years ago. All those guys left.
Yeah. How can you compliment my son?
Yeah.
That was a lot of the stuff that came out with that group for Deion.
He will be a curious case in the NFL because these guys are right, though. And it is fair to say, how is he going to be coached by somebody else? High school, dad was his coach.
Mm-hmm.
College, dad was his coach.
He's got a case of the tism, man. Nepotism.
It is what it is. I don't know if you can answer that question until he gets in the building. You know what he's going to be like when he gets money in his pocket.
Yeah.
And it's like, because he's had money in his pocket mm-hmm. his whole life. That's not a concern. And that is for a lot of guys in the draft process. This isn't it. It is, how is he going to be coached by somebody that is not his father?
And how is he going to be in a locker room when his father is in a shield for him? That's the thing that I wonder when his coach isn't his dad. Like, I look, you can say I'm tightening my tinfoil hat. I think part of the reason why Shedeur Sanders got his jersey retired was not only because of his father, but to act as a shield against some other stuff and to keep him in the limelight and to keep things positive. Because the closer we get to the draft and the less that Deion and his group can control around Shedeur, the more negative it's getting.
Yeah. Some of it unfair. I think, though, a lot of it is fair. You can question how he's going to be coached by somebody else. You can question the amount of sacks he took and how much of that was because he wanted to have a good completion percentage,
mm-hmm.
how much of it was locking on receivers downfield. These are legitimate things. His arm strength and ability to push the ball down the field. Sure. Yeah, I think you have that with literally every draft prospect, with the exception of Jamarcus Russell, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes. It was like, well, is his arm strong enough? Joe Milton.
Yeah.
Right? Other than that, those are the questions because it's really damn hard to do in the NFL. Push the ball down the field accurately.
The hit rate, not great.
Not great, Bob.